Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now let's get an important country's reaction to the Syria-Russia chemical weapons agreement. I'm sorry, did I say agreement?
It is a framework, not a final agreement. It is a framework that must be put into effect by the United Nations now.
Secretary of State Kerry yesterday. Today, Kerry's been explaining the framework to foreign ministers from the U.S.'s closest allies on the Syria crisis, or some of them at least, Britain, France, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. Now, Turkey is Syria's neighbor to the north, also borders Iran and Iraq, and is very close by to Russia. Turkey has taken in the largest number of Syrian refugees. 500,000 is a conservative UN estimate. Turkey tends to be interventionist on Syria and is skeptical of Assad following through on this framework. We are thrilled to have with us now Ceylan Uzbudak, a Turkish political analyst who comments on Al Arabiya TV and is founder of a not-for-profit in Istanbul called Building Bridges. Ms. Uzbudak, thank you so much for coming on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Does Turkey like this framework that Kerry negotiated with Russia?
Well, Turkey is skeptical, just like you said, because chemical weapons were not the reason this civil war started. It's not going to end the civil war just by removing the chemical weapons, because this is simply us telling a butcher to use conventional weapons instead of chemicals. Plus, chemical weapons are not that sophisticated devices. Assad can hand over all of his chemical weapons in one day and produce new ones easily the next day. So some bleach, some fertilizers, and a few other substances you can find in your garage will do it.
And listeners, we can take your reactions to the framework announced over the weekend for Syria to disclose within 1 week and then give up over a period of months its chemical weapons. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you want to react to that news, talk about the deficiencies in the framework that some people have pointed out or the strengths, 212-433-9692, or to ask a question to our special guest, Ceylan Uzbudak, Turkish political analyst, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. What questions do you think your foreign minister, Ahmet Davutoğlu, had for Kerry at this briefing today? Any idea?
I think Turkey has always been a pro-American nation, and despite criticizing the U.S. from time to time, Turks have always been pro-American. But at this point, an American military intervention would probably cause even more pain. So it's time for the Middle Eastern nations to step up altogether for the solution in Syria for this crisis, or this crisis will destroy the region altogether. I think our foreign minister will help. We'll ask for your foreign minister to help Turkey in international support for this, and Turkey may lead an intervention with boots on the ground, but not alone, with all the other nations in the region altogether, with all the other Muslim nations in the region.
So are you saying Turkey would rather have seen military action, which might weaken Assad's grip on power, more than this framework, which is only about chemical weapons?
Definitely. But I'm not talking about something like an intervention or a war. I'm talking about something like more like a peacekeeping force. Because it is also not the responsibility of the U.S. to intervene. It must be done by the Muslim nations in the Middle East altogether. So this will handle a lot of conflicts in the region. For example, Iran, if you remember, proposed Turkey to handle this together. If Turkey takes this proposal and uses this to form a new force with Iran, with Iraq, with other forces in the region, with other Muslim forces in the region, this will help prevent further sectarian clashes too in Syria.
It's a very positive view of the potential for regional cooperation, as you're laying it out. Do you think that's politically realistic, though, considering all the tensions in the region among the various countries?
I personally interviewed some of the Kurdish activists, for example, from the northern Syria about the Rojava concept and how the integration would be in a process after Assad. And in my humble opinion, I think the Rojavan Kurds are so also open to negotiating with the forces after Assad in Syria, provided their rights and security are guaranteed and Turkey is in position to guarantee both their security and rights.
And you're saying after Assad. So this idea for an international peacekeeping force, its time is right, is not right now because there is no peace to keep. This would be after Assad, presumably at some point, falls, correct?
Not really. I think we should push Assad out of the Syria because right now there's a very entangled situation there. I don't think Assad alone wants to stay there, but he's also forced to stay there. But either Assad or any member in the Baath Party regime inside Syria right now can handle a situation where all the Muslim nations in the Middle East intervene to remove Assad.
Here is Secretary Kerry again today on what has to happen next after this agreement with Russia and presumably through Russia, Syria.
What we achieve in this agreement as we translate Geneva Agreement into a United Nations resolution has to be strong and it has to be forceful. It has to be real. It has to be accountable. It has to be transparent. It has to be timely.
And we are talking with Ceylan Uzbudak, Turkish political analyst who comments on Al Arabiya TV. And Ms. Uzbudak, to what Secretary Kerry just said there, amazing that this is now going to the UN Security Council for an actual Security Council resolution that presumably Russia and China will not veto this time, but it will not include a threat of military force. At least not in the wording of the resolution, as we understand it. So do you think this resolution will have teeth? And is there anything that you or the Turkish government especially want to see in the resolution?
Actually, I want to say something else about this. I think the hesitancy right now we are seeing in intervention in Syria comes from the hesitancy people will see after Assad, because they think Al-Qaeda will take over Syria, they think many radical forces will take over Syria, they think this will be a threat to Turkey, to Israel, to Jordan, to other countries in the region. But they are forgetting one thing: Al-Qaeda or any proxy army is not interested in sitting in the palace in Damascus. Proxy armies, Islamist jihadis, do not govern countries. Yes, they want to remain in Syria and use it as a base, but we won't see an Al-Qaeda fighter, an Al-Nusra fighter in Damascus passing legislation to reduce the Christian society in the country.
Maybe that's happen. That may be true, but all we saw in Afghanistan was not Al-Qaeda fighters running the Taliban from Kabul, running the country. We just saw a government friendly to them, giving them free space to meet and to act and to plan attacks like September 11th, 2001. So wouldn't that be enough if an Al-Qaeda-friendly rebel government were to take hold and not be willing to really root them out?
But it depends on the government. If we are talking about the Syrian National Council, for example, one of the reasons the West has been reluctant to intervene until now is also because of the Syrian National Council has failed to offer solid leadership or reasonable plans for the contingency, for the possible scenarios which any proposed revolutionary movement must be prepared to meet. But although this is a political issue, we can safely say no one in the Syrian National Council is likely to raid villages, burn houses, shoot civilians. We can live with ineffective politicians, and so can anyone, I think. Let's not forget, according to a recent poll, only 14% of the American population trust their Congress is doing a good job. So if we are talking about Taliban and Afghanistan, the government in Afghanistan is not strong enough, and they don't have a will strong enough to stand against the will of Taliban. But if we are talking about Syrian National Council, that's not the same case.
Let's take a phone call from Joseph in East Orange. Joseph, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yeah, good morning. I'm calling because I think that the West has failed the people of Syria. I think the United States has. I think Obama has. I mean, there's a red line that's been crossed so many times, nothing has been done. These innocent people have been killed. What is Congress doing? What is the world doing? After the Second World War, everybody says, it's never going to happen again. It's never going to happen again. Nobody, we cannot allow them to kill people like that. And every time it happens, Ethiopia, it happens in with Uganda, Rwanda, and all these places, and it's happening in Syria now. Somebody had to get in there and take care of that guy. The CIA should have killed him a long time ago to save his country.
Is that the United States' role, as you see it, to go around the world and try to stop civil wars in progress?
Well, who else is capable of doing it? I mean, is it right for one man, for any leader anywhere to kill his people like that? And everybody sit back and say, it's not in my backyard. The American people say, oh, it's not in my backyard. It doesn't hurt me. Look, sorry for these poor people. Let them be killed. I mean, this, I think it's ridiculous. The world got to stand up. America has the leadership. America has the power. Obama should have some guts, and Congress should have some guts,
Joseph,
you know, instead of being so selfish.
Thank you very much for your call. How close is that to Turkey's view?
I couldn't hear the last part of his speech.
Oh,
can you repeat it for me?
Yes. He's outraged that the United States, as the strongest country in the world militarily, doesn't go into more countries to stop massacres like this. He says after World War II, we said never again. But we didn't go into Rwanda. We didn't go into Ethiopia. We didn't now go into Syria to forget chemical weapons to actually stop the massacre.
One part of it is true because, for example, if you must have heard everyone is talking about the formidable air defense of Syria. It's not so formidable for American Air Force. So it's of course not going to be a difficult action for America. But although the U.S. emphasizes that it has no such intention, it will be perceived as an invading power by many groups in the region, and it will encounter some reaction. And the limited intervention it would make will not be enough to weaken Assad. Airstrike, for example, will not weaken Assad. He has his proxies fighting on the ground. It cannot be solved without boots on the ground.
How does President Obama look to you and to the Turkish government and to the region in general in his actions since the chemical weapons attack? His opponents say weak and indecisive. His supporters say, look, he got Syria to admit for the first time that they have chemical weapons, got Russia on board to take a public stand against them, managed to do it without resorting to the military, and applied all this pressure while facing rejection of his war plans by the U.S. Congress in all likelihood. Here is the president yesterday addressing his critics on ABC This Week.
Folks here in Washington like to grade on style. Right? And so had we rolled out something that was very smooth and disciplined and linear, they would have graded it well, even if it was a disastrous policy. We know that because that's exactly how they graded the Iraq war.
That's exactly how they graded the Iraq war, positively because of the way it was rolled out, President Obama said, and implying wrongly. So Ceylan Uzbudak from Turkish Television and Al Arabiya, how much credit, how much scorn do you see in your region today for the way the president has handled all this?
I think the main problem right now against the president is stemming from the difference between the campaign of United States trying to stop the Syrian civil war and the campaign of the Turkey trying to stop the Syrian civil war. Because Turkish desire to end the war doesn't stem from the chemical weapons. It was about 100,000 plus people who already lost their lives. Whether or not one of the sides used chemical weapons, it doesn't change anything. Assad killed 100,000 plus people before this with conventional weapons. So what difference does it make? I think this talk about chemical weapons is making people a little annoyed, but his actions about trying to solve this through diplomacy is, of course, noble. Of course, none of us, no one in the region wants war in the region.
Neslihan in New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and merhaba to your guest. I'm also Turkish, so I'm kind of interested in a different angle on this. I'm wondering how the Turkish economy is faring with the huge influx of refugees how their infrastructure, their economy. I don't know, you know, how much money they're pouring, but there's so many people coming into the country, and I wonder how it's impacting Turkey itself.
Thank you for that question. Mm-hmm. It's just where I wanted to go next. And I want to say that Turkey's open border policy for Syrian refugees has gotten so much praise from around the world. And yeah. maybe I should say by way of historical background that that border is an artifact of World War I, isn't it? Meaning the people in northern Syria and southern Turkey are ethnically very close and even from related families sometimes, correct?
Yes, that's very correct. Turkey and Syria used to have open borders on religious base before the Syrian civil war to let people in northern Syria and southern Turkey cross freely to visit their families across the line, because many people have forgotten that the Treaty of Sykes-Picot drew borders which literally divided families after the World War. So Hatay province, for example, in Turkey, was the former governorate of Alexandretta. So it was a part of Syria until just before the beginning of the World War II. So this was one of the main reasons Turkey had such close relations with Syria, even at a time when other Arab nations considered Turkey as a previous oppressor. This, of course, created a scene, a different scene in Turkey for the Syrian refugees. In April of this year, for example, presenting the ICG field study on the status of the refugees in the 17 camps in Turkey, Didem Kunsworth said that the Turkish camps are called five-star camps by international authorities in United Nations, because some of these camps actually closely resemble small cities with families living in fabricated containers, complete with running water, sewage, and electricity. They have mosques, health services, playgrounds, schools, also in the other established camps too. And the Turkish government has also offered to airlift refugees to other European countries. Germany took 18,000 refugees so far.
And the United States has only taken in 33 Syrian refugees, according to an article today from Bloomberg News. Mm-hmm. Germany, as you say, has taken in the most of any Western country, but there's a big backlash from Germany's current extreme right. Do you think the West needs to do more about Syrian refugees?
Of course they need to do more, because even Germany, which took 18,000 refugees so far, in the last part of the refugees they transferred to Germany, they said, we prefer Christian refugees to come here. This is not a, you know, humanitarian thing to say, because you can't just go to a camp. There are hundreds of thousands of children in that camp, and you choose the Christian ones among those children.
And to the caller's point, how are all these refugees, you can give me your best number, I've heard 500,000, 700,000, I don't know the real number, affecting Turkey and its economy?
Turkey right now has 700,000 refugees. Turkey built a new camps inside many provinces in Turkey, which cost Turkey $1.5 billion so far, only $92 million. Money was paid by the United Nations. But because we have a stable economy right now, it's not affecting Turkey so badly. And it would make Turkish people really uncomfortable if we didn't do this. So it's not creating any backlash from the Turkish society. And they are willing to host even more refugees.
A very important perspective on the situation regarding Syria and the region from one of the countries most effective and most affected and most involved with the United States in formulating policy going forward, Turkey. We thank Ceylan Uzburdak, Turkish political analyst who comments on Al Arabiya TV and is founder of a not-for-profit in Istanbul called Building Bridges. You can see a link to her Al Arabiya commentaries on our page. Go to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.